Curtis Lewa.
Two young people decided to form their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets. When you see them, you get a nice, secure feeling in your heart.
I admire Curtis Lewa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Lewa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Lewa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Lewa, legendary New York.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Lewa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Eight minutes after the hour of five. Once again, I'm taking you home on the drive home at five. Yours truly, Curtis Lewa, who, like so many hundreds, make that thousands of others, was caught in the mishigash of the MTA yesterday, money-taking agency debacle. As you remember, there was a track fire at 145th Street. This was trash that had already been spotted by trash inspectors, but naturally, they weren't going to remove it. So they circulated a report up to the bloated bureaucrats at J Street Borough Hall, which is where they all congregate. And eventually, I guess, a track maintenance crew was going to go down and remove the flotsam and jetsam. Never happened, so a fire occurred. Another track fire occurred later in the day. And then at night, all kinds of signal issues that affected almost every subway line imaginable, all the numbered lines, all the alphabet lines. And this was in tandem to what Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Bruta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, warned us about just weeks ago.
It will be a summer of hell for commuters.
And when he said that, he was up in Albany. He declared a state of emergency. And he said that the Mashiach, the man who would rescue us from this debacle, would be Joe Loder, who at one time had been the executive director of the MTA for just 1 year, but he somehow was going to be the Mashiach. And I said right away, remember, ladies and gentlemen, I said, how can he be the Mashiach, the savior, if he's only going to be a part-time executive director during a state of emergency? And no one else in the media wanted to pursue this. And I kept pounding away. He spends most of his day at the Langone New York Medical Center, where he works a 9-to-5 job. Finally, yesterday, he responded to someone in the press who asked him that question when he left his Langone NYU Medical Center job to host a press conference to try to explain the debacle that occurred earlier in the day for the MTA.
The search for the operations manager is ongoing. Relatively close. I was working this morning. I was at the hospital at 6 a.m. this morning. I came here from the hospital. I monitored all the conference calls that we were on. Actually started at 5:30 from home before I came in. Came here to do the press conference, talk to all of you, and I'll be going back to the hospital for more meetings. And then later this afternoon, have meetings that will start around 3 o'clock till go to about 8 o'clock tonight at the at MTA headquarters.
Oh, aren't you relieved? What a piece of work. A part-time executive director during a state of emergency. And then remember, I've been talking about all these track cleaners that they spent $23 million on. You know, their Hoover vacuum track cleaners that supposedly will clean up all the newspapers and the cardboard and the coffee cups that caused these track fires. Well, actually, Joe Loder did respond to that and mentioned that they were on it in May, but not in June.
Operation Track Sweep will continue. It will be enhanced. We're buying new equipment. Yes, we're going to continue with Operation Track Sweep. We did it in May, and we need to do, we need to do it more frequently.
Now, wait a second. They did it in May, but they haven't been doing it in June. So naturally, all the newspapers, all the cardboard, all the paper coffee cups accumulate in these catch basins that you can see at the far end and the near end of each subway station. But they're not being cleaned out. And then Joe Loder, instead of saying, well, you know, we got to get the men and women down there with the shovels, the brooms, the hefty trash bags, old school style, was blaming the old Hoover vacuum cleaner trains.
Just so you know, just to get very specific, those old trains, They can pick up newspaper, but they can't pick up a Snapple bottle. And I'm not picking on Snapple. Anybody who has a bottle, a juice bottle. I mean, it doesn't have that ability. The new equipment will.
Now, wait a second. A Snapple bottle is not going to cause a fire, you schmuck. So the old train, let me hear the old Hoover vacuum cleaner trains. Okay. Apparently they're not good enough, according to Joe Loda, because they don't pick up Snapple bottles, even though they pick up paper and newspaper and cardboard that caused the fires. So he wants to spend millions or more dollars. And instead of blaming himself, right, for not being able to get hold and grip of this situation, he blames the commuters because he calls us litter bugs.
I won't buy into the concept of, you know, who is and who isn't a litter bug. I don't want to get into that. That's finger pointing. I don't want to do that. What I want to do is talk about a partnership with our customers so that we understand that, you know, we need to make sure that if we need to dispose of something, we put it in a trash can.
A partnership? How about just get the MTA workers, slackers, deadbeats, to do their job, to get down into the tracks and to remove the flotsam and jetsam the old school way? Then he talked about how he is a good citizen and not a litter bug.
This isn't about blame by any stretch of the imagination. We're a city of 8.5 million people, and there are a lot of people who get on the subway system. What I think is really important is that we have trash cans at the mezzanine levels. We, you know, it's best to just, you know, what I do when I get on. I still have a coffee cup when I get on the subways, usually. I hold on to it when I finish my coffee, and I throw it out when I leave the train. And I put it in a trash can. That's, you know, I'd like to be able to hope everyone would want to do that.
Yeah, but back in 2014, the MTA, the money-taking agency, removed trash cans from subway station platforms thinking it would reduce litter. So then, when confronted with that, he talked about, yeah, they're up in the mezzanine.
No, they haven't been. They've been removed because of crowding reasons. I'll evaluate that again and understand that. We have them at the top of the stairwells, but as you saw yesterday, the crowding situation during rush hour, not just there, but in many, many locations, it does get very, very crowded.
So, idiot, you removed some of the trash cans from the platforms, the subway platforms. Do you think people are going to transport that up to the mezzanine? Do you really think that? Well, now he has a special task force that has come together that will issue a plan in 30 days about potentially banning food consumption in the subways.
Wait for the 30-day report. We're drafting it right now. And there have been a lot of recommendations about what foods are appropriate, what foods are not.
Hmm.
So, I mean, there's a debate going on, and I fully get it. I mean, you know, we have a situation where, you know, people just recently, I was on a train, a subway train, the number 2 train, someone got on with a styrofoam thing of Chinese food, it looked like, and there was a lot of rice, and there was other things. Inevitably, the rice fell. It was all over the place.
Hey, the rice is going to start a track fire, right? But wait a second. Joe Loda, he's a food connoisseur. He knows. He knows about the foods that should be consumed in the subway.
Early in the morning, you know, if you're a smart student who may live in Queens or may live in Brooklyn and you're so smart you're able to get into the Bronx High School of Science and you want to take a protein bar in the morning on the way in. So we need to think about this from a point of view of what works. Some things work, some things don't.
What the hell are you talking about? And this is the Mashiach, the savior of the subway system? He knows nothing about nothing. But I don't want to put all the weight on a part-time executive director during the state of emergency in the MTA subway system. Look at Andrew Evilize Cuomo. He just reported having raised $26 million, $5 million of it these past weekends in fundraisers out in the Hamptons where he's been working on his man tan at his brother Chris Cuomo's pad, refusing to go into the subway, refusing to see the debacle that it has become. $26 million to get reelected. And meantime, speaking of part-time, our part-time mayor, that dope from Park Slope, he only works part-time each and every day. I guess this is setting a trend here in the city, that if you want to represent the city agency or a state agency, or if you want to be mayor or governor, hey, you just mail it in. You're a part-time governor, part-time mayor, part-time executive director of the MTA. He barely ever rides the subway. So how is this ever going to get resolved when neither the governor neither the mayor nor the part-time executive director, Joe Loden, even bothered to go to the scene of the track fire yesterday that started the Mishigash and the debacle. Neither three of them, the three blind mice, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, bothered to even go to the scene which set it all off yesterday.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
Those who practice like you.
Deep into the headlines. Deep into the streets.
This is good.
Deep into your eyeballs.
How disgusting.
Studio View is live right now. WABCRadio.com.
As we continue on the drive home at 5. Well, it was all American all the time yesterday at the White House, hosted by President Donald Trump as he was talking about manufacturing that still takes place in America by American workers, and he wanted to recognize those companies in each of the 50 states.
Made in the USA. We're going to start doing that again. We're going to put that brand on our product.
Now, that's a noble venture. But when it came to New Jersey, the Garden State, he decided to cite Campbell's Soup Company, whose international headquarters is in Camden, New Jersey, right across the Delaware River from Philadelphia. In fact, for all those who grew up having, like I did, Campbell's tomato soup, you know, with the grilled cheese sandwiches. I mean, that was the tradition. Remember the commercials that ran ad nauseum?
Hungry? Grab your Campbell's tomato soup. Make it hearty. Make it filling. Make it a meal. Campbell's tomato soup. Make it as hearty as you are hungry.
As hearty as you are hungry. But somehow, I don't think a can of tomato soup from Campbell's comes from Camden, New Jersey any longer. I don't even think they cook it there or can it there. On the line to discuss it, Larry Menti. Yes, you know him because he is substituted here at WABC often. He has his own show here on WABC Saturday nights from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning, where he talks about all events, live and local, regional, national, and international. And he has his own TV show, Jersey Matters, on MeTV. Thanks for joining us on the Drive Home at 5, Larry.
Absolutely.
Now, Larry, as a son of Philadelphia, because I know you've spent a lot of time on that other side of the Delaware River, I know you'd look across to Camden and you'd say, that's the home of Campbell's Soup, right?
No, you do. Look, Camden would fall apart without Campbell's Soup. Everybody else left Camden, including RCA and many other big companies. Campbell's Soup has stayed. As a matter of fact, when Campbell's Soup was down at the White House for this Made in America thing, they had a stand-up with your favorite, Curtis. They had grilled cheese and they had tomato soup. And even though Donald Trump didn't eat any, he went up to them and said, thank you for staying in Camden all these years.
Now, I understand, Larry, that Campbell's Soup's international headquarters is still based in Camden, but it's all administrative, right? It's all bureaucratic. They don't can any soup there or cook any soup there and ship it out from there.
No, they closed that plant in 1990, and they also closed the South Plainfield plant, I think, in 2007. So no more of the soup is made in New Jersey. But let me ask you this. If you ran a state, would you rather have the plant or the international headquarters where the $8 billion is?
I'd rather have both, to be honest with you. I'd be a little greedy because if the president was using Campbell's Soup as an example of a place in which American manufacturing takes place, where Americans are employed, then you would think that if he was pointing to Campbell's, because I know, and you probably are aware, there are other American companies in New Jersey who hire American workers and continue to manufacture there. But if you're going to cite Campbell's as an example, why cite a company that no longer actually produces, cans, and ships its product from the Garden State?
From the Garden State. But the week was called Made in America. Curtis, I love you, but I'm pushing back on this one. Of their 25,000 employees, 23,000 are in the United States. They have five plants. one, the biggest one in Napoleon, Ohio. 80% of their product is made in America. And there have been tremendous community and neighborhood stewards and partners in Camden. They just invested $72 million in Camden, which is much more than Trenton does. I'll tell you, they're loved down here. And they stayed in Jersey when others left. And they're bringing a lot of tax dollars into the schools, and they're bringing a lot of tax dollars into the state. New Jersey's lucky to have them, and they make their product in America. May not be in New Jersey, but it's made in America.
Okay, so I'll call that a split bill, meaning 50-50, mezza, mezza, poco, poco. I'll give you some skin, you give me some skin on that. Let's use another major multinational corporation with just as famous a name, because I grew up eating Oreo cookies like morning, noon, and night, Nabisco.
Right.
And I think, now correct me if I'm wrong, because there was a plant there in Northeast Philadelphia for a while that they demolished. And they've demolished...
Oh, yeah. Every plant in Northeast Philadelphia was demolished.
Yeah, it looks like a wasteland there at times. But remember, that became a battleground issue during the recent general campaign for the presidency. Both Hillary and Trump were railing against Nabisco's corporate headquarters because, remember, they were closing down the last Oreo plant in Chicago, Illinois, and they were sending all those jobs south of the border to Salinas in Mexico. But Nabisco didn't fold. They wouldn't fold to Trump's demands or Hillary's demands. They said, hey, look, our bottom line necessitates that if you want to eat double-stuffed Oreos, chocolate Oreos, vanilla Oreos, stuffed cookies, it's going to be coming from Mexico.
Right. No, absolutely, yeah. And so that's a perfect example of a food company that upped and left and went to Mexico where they knew they could make more of a profit because they could hire workers cheaper. Getting back to Campbell Soup, they didn't do that. They had the opportunity to do that, too. Now, they have some overseas plants. They have one in Germany, one in Australia, and another one in Canada. But that's not like going to Mexico or Vietnam or China to make your product. But Nabisco, you're right. And most food companies are doing that. And so I think Campbell deserves to be praised by the president. I think that they are a shining example of what a corporation in America should do.
So are you suggesting that I go out and get a can of Campbell's tomato soup today, you know, warm it up, and then have a nice grilled cheese sandwich with it on silver cup bread?
You'd be supporting America, and it's good.
Anyway, also, finally, Larry Menti, the president himself still has a tremendous array of products that he sells in the Trump family business, none of which are made in America. You think maybe the president should set the example by maybe manufacturing some of those products here before suddenly he demands that everybody also do it?
Absolutely. And I was waiting for you to get to that, because you shouldn't attack Campbell's Soup. You should attack Ivanka, and you should attack the Trump brand. Ivanka, I don't think, makes anything in this country. Her brand, it's all made overseas. It's all made in Asia. And the Trump ties are made elsewhere as well. So there is an immense amount of hypocrisy with the Trumps. Not Campbell's Soup, but the Trumps.
Well, on your honor, I hope on Saturday night, when you're preparing for the show, as you oftentimes do here in the newsroom, you actually have a nice little bowl of Campbell's tomato soup. Anyway, that's Larry Menti. You can catch him every Saturday night from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. with all the live and local stories of the day, regional, national, international, the whole nine yards.
Curtis Lewa.
He's a man of the people.
Between the Scylla and Charybdis of commentary.
The Drive at 5, 77 WABC.
I just want to celebrate another day.
Five 54 as we continue on the drive home at 5. And with Obamacare now being called upon to be repealed, not replaced by Republicans, we focused just a few days ago on the massive fraud that has taken place pre-Obamacare, during Obamacare, and will continue in with whatever replaces it, the Medicaid, Medicare fraud situation. Thankfully, Attorney General Jeff Sessions of the Department of Justice led arrests of doctors, therapists, chiropractors, lawyers, steerers, and occupational therapists who were bilking the system of hundreds of millions of dollars. But that's taking place inside the Medicaid mill, inside the Medicare mill. Do you know what's taking place outside of these mills? Let me give you an example. Just the other day, in the heart of the belly of the beast, the South Bronx, there are three guys lollygagging around. They're trying to think of this Medicaid scam that they're going to pull, whether it's getting prescriptions for opioids and oxys that they don't need or other Medicaid-related scams. One guy is James Thomas. He's on lifetime parole for a murder he committed in 1983 in Harlem. He was released in 2014. He gets into a dispute with one of these other scammers, as they're all like in one cabal, and he shoots three times. And then there's Frederick Fielder, who's a Bloods member. He's been arrested 12 times, six robbery charges, other violent assault charges, and he decides he's going to shoot back six times. So now, this is like in broad daylight, and another Gavon jumps in, right? Some guy named Muhammad, and he decides he's going to be capping five shots. So guys are running around, they're all bloody, they've all been shot, and then all of a sudden, this monster, James Thomas, decides to fire one final shot. And unfortunately, it hits a four-year-old girl right in the back who is immediately rushed to nearby Lincoln Hospital. Now, everyone's arrested. Everyone's taken to jail, then eventually to hospital. Luckily, the four-year-old girl is recovering. But I don't think many of you are aware that with all the scams that are bilking Medicaid and Medicare out of hundreds of millions of dollars, that's all on the inside. That's all bureaucratic. That's all administrative. That's white collar. You should see what goes on outside of these Medicaid, Medicare clinics, sometimes in the belly of the beast, and sometimes in lower middle class and middle class neighborhoods, where guys and gals are getting drugs and they're trading them outside as if it's a Alibaba and the 40 Thieves black market, where all of a sudden they're coming up with ideas of fake, phony, fraudulent, fugazi injuries that they can then bring to a steerer who will then bring them to a therapist or a chiropractor or a doctor. And then suddenly they're on Medicaid, right? And they're bilking the system for thousands, tens of thousands of dollars and sometimes getting kickbacks. Now, the kickbacks may not necessarily be in cash, but it may be in what is cash in the streets. Oxycodone, hillbilly heroin, Percocets, other pain-killing drugs. It's a system that the government permits to exist. The rip-offs inside the Medicaid and Medicare mills, and yeah, the rip-offs that go outside, and it needs to come to an end.